A new law signed by the president last month gives the Veterans Affairs Secretary lots of discretion to fire or demote members of the senior executive service. The law came in response to management problems resulting in long wait lines for admittance to VA facilities. Now, the law means SESers at VA work under a different set of civil service rules than those for the rest of the government. It also imposes new burdens on the Merit Systems Protection Board. The board issued an interim final rule on how the agency will carry out that new mandate. Chairwoman Susan Sway Grundman told me about the comments the board received about the rule and what the law does require of the board.
The law requires that a removal or a demotion of a VA SESer, that personnel action must be adjudicated by an administrative judge in 21 days, or the agency's decision to remove or demote stands by default. The law also precludes, for the first time that we know, any review by the three presidentially appointed Senate-confirmed members in Washington, D.C.
In general, the presidentially appointed members of the board, of which you're the chair, what types of decisions do they tend to weigh in on other than what's inside this law?
Everything. Literally from cradle to grave with federal employment. Cradle meaning hiring, because we do handle the veterans' discrimination cases on hiring. We handle conduct and performance. And grave being separation, removal. We go beyond the grave because we also handle the retirement claims, the OPM survivor annuity claims. So it's a huge, huge swath of federal employment.
And so the judges are directly involved, not the judges, but the members, the board members are directly involved in those cases.
Judges and the board members, you're correct.
Okay, so now in the case of VA SESers designated for removal by the secretary, it's only the administrative judges.
Correct.
All right, so what does that mean in a practical sense for the day-to-day operations of the board?
Well, and so far, right now, there's no impact because there have been no cases filed. But as a practical matter, when the cases do come in, these cases will have to rise to the top if they are to be adjudicated within 21 days.
Okay, and I want to get back to that issue of the timing because it gets a little bit complicated and urgent, I guess. But first, I want to run down the main elements of the rule. It became operational in August. It's an interim rule, which means it's in effect, but there's still a comment period. So until the comment period is over, what are the main elements in the rule as the MSPB issued it?
Well, the comment period has ended, and we are reviewing those comments. But as the current rule reads, everybody has to use e-appeal. Our discovery process is still there, but it's shortened from 30 to 60 days, now down to 10. There'll be a hearing on day 18, and the parties can expect bench decisions at the time of the hearing. The law also provides that the secretary will give the AJs such information and assistance to ensure that the appeal is expedited to the maximum extent possible, and there could be sanctions for failure to do so. So to the parties, to the agency, they should be expected to go on day one.
So that's incumbent on the secretary, who does the action in the first place to make sure the administrative law judges or the administrative judges have all the information that would normally take a couple of months.
That is my understanding.
But we don't really know whether they're doing that because there have been no cases.
No cases so far.
I mean, Bob McDonald is, you know, just a few weeks into being the VA secretary, and I think probably he's got more whistleblower retaliation cases to deal with than SESers he could finger and say, you're out of here.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, our process, as we design it, still allows for a VA SESer to bring affirmative defenses in our process, including retaliation for whistleblowing.
Which is really a separate matter than what we're talking about here. These are mainly performance cases in the eyes of the secretary.
Could be performance and could be misconduct as well, because the law joins performance and conduct together.
Okay, and so what does that mean, to join performance and conduct? It means that bad performance is the equivalent of bad conduct?
I don't think so, but right now, in the regular state of our law, conduct and performance are two different bodies of law. They have two different elements of proof. They have the same process, but the elements for each claim is different, and the process that the agency undergoes in removing an employee for performance or for misconduct are different. Here, under the law, conduct and performance are treated the same.
Because, you know, the plain meaning of those is, you know, someone could be a perfectly upstanding citizen, everybody's favorite guy, but just is doing lousy on the job. That's different than being maybe an excellent manager, but a horrible human being.
I think that's fair to say.
Well, so again, it's you really can't predict what's going to happen because nothing has happened yet.
Exactly.
All right, and but should some cases come, that 10-day discovery area, you said that the secretary has to give the administrative judges the information they need to the extent possible. What happens if it just doesn't come? The 10-day deadline doesn't go away.
The 10-day deadline does not go away. You're right. None of the deadlines go away, but sanctions can be enforced. Our interim rules also require the VA to notify us when the secretary exercises his authority under this section promptly, so define promptly.
Well, that's right. So in other words, they're supposed to like sound a horn before firing the cannonball type of thing.
Well, that's a little harsh, but...
That's my language, not yours.
Okay, it's your language. But it's certainly so we can tee up our system and free up an administrative judge to handle the case right away.
And just briefly, how many administrative judges are there at the moment?
We have about 60 administrative judges in headquarters and in the region and in the field.
We're speaking with Susan Sway Grundman. She is the chairman of the Merit Systems Protection Board. So that compressed time frame for all of this, if everyone doesn't meet their deadline, then the default is that the termination stands.
Correct.
So that's kind of a flip from how things are normally, where due process requires timely performance by on the part of those committing the action.
So as a result, all the cases have to be completed within 21 days. Otherwise, they don't really need an appeals process. So our team here will be ready to go once we have a claim filed.
All right. I guess the other question that comes to mind is, you know, as a person who has looked at a lot of cases and has presided over many cases of correct dismissal, wrongful dismissal, and everything in between. There's usually gray, shades of gray in all of these cases. What's your take on what Congress has done? Does it seem to be in the spirit of merit systems and protection, small m, s, and p?
Sure. I think your question goes to whether this is fair or not in the broader sense. And if you consider preparing and adjudicating a case to salvage your career within 21 days, fair, that's really the issue. Now, having said that, the process that we design roughly mirrors our adjudication process overall. There is discovery, there's motions, there will be witnesses, there's a hearing. Nothing in the statute on its face requires the VA to return to what we've called the spoil system. But certainly, I'm not saying this is going to happen. Nothing precludes the secretary from removing all VA SESers with an expedited review process. Again, the agency still has to prove its case. It still has the burden of proof. It still has to present facts supporting its charge.
So we're not back to pure patronage in the pre-civil service reform days of the 19th century.
Let's not go back to the 19th century, but there's certainly nothing on the face of the statute that precludes the exercise of a wide-scale removal of VA SESers. Saying it's going to happen, though.
So to put it a little more charitably, maybe they're making it more like the corporate process, where at a certain level you are totally at the will of the CEO or the chairman of the board.
Those are your words, not mine.
Well, fair enough. What else do we need to know about this in terms of the MSPB itself?
Well, there have been questions asked as to whether this is part of a legislative trend that we're starting to see. I mean, certainly every agency has its time where it's undergoing some sort of crisis. We're not currently seeing that. Today it's the VA. Could it be another agency tomorrow? We just don't know.
And earlier you said the comment period had closed for the interim rule. What have you seen so far in terms of comments?
We only received responses from three commentators. And those were largely private practitioners before the board or those who represented employees. We didn't receive anything from the VA.
Interesting. So comments are closed, so you have what you have in terms of input.
Correct. So we will be looking at those comments. We will be determining what changes we need to make, and the final rule will be published. But certainly the interim rule is implemented and operational as of today, and as of August, actually.